The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics Blog, the Shellhead Comics Blog, and more at ShellheadComics.com. Welcome, my awesome co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay! I made you laugh even though I'm doing the heel turn this episode.
I know. Dave's doing the swerve.
I was like, we need to do like cut a promo. We don't normally do this for the podcast. We need to cut a promo where you're sitting there talking to somebody and I come in and I whack you with a chair because I'm doing the heel turn.
Wow.
On the back. Well, not really. I mean, I'd
take a chair shot from you. Oh. Just in the back though. Not
I would probably like lose my grip and hit myself in the face.
Dave be like, that's heavy.
It's heavy. So heavy.
Why are steel chairs so much heavier than I thought?
So heavy? It's like they're made out of some sort of metal.
I can't believe how heavy these are. These are awful. How did you do this for so long?
Who are these idiots that say wrestling is fake? That hurt.
Oh my god, I hate it when my hands are still vibrating. It's hot.
I know. I'd hit you and then I'd drop it on my feet. Like, ow!
Oh,
it's supposed to hurt him. It hurt my hands. My hands.
What's funny is going through a table is so much better than getting hit with a chair.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And a lot more fun.
Well, aren't tables made out of wood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome when they break beneath you.
I bet.
They're fun.
I guess it depends on the circumstance. I sometimes have balance issues, and it doesn't seem like it would be that fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. If you're lying there in your kitchen afterwards and the splinters are there. That's less fun than if you're in a wrestling ring.
That's true.
I would suspect.
Yeah, that's a good point. We are 20-some-odd days away from WrestleMania.
Are we?
Yes. Dave could care less.
It's not that I could care less per se. It's just I'm not connected to wrestling, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Will the rabbit be there?
No, the bunny's long gone.
Oh, okay. Well, then it is dead to me.
The bunny is long gone, because Adam Rose is no longer that same character.
I have no idea who that different even is.
Yeah. I'll have to show you videos of him later, because it's kind of kooky.
I'll be waiting on pins and needles for
that. Yeah, yeah.
The one thing I know is that Shane McMahon is fighting The Undertaker?
In a Hell in a Cell match for...
Wow. For control of the WWE.
Well, for control of WWE Raw.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like very small stakes. I've noticed that about The Undertaker seems like a cool character, but it always seems like every storyline he's involved in have very, very, I will use the power of Satan in darkness to take control of the WWE. Like, I'm pretty sure you could aim higher.
That had been his shtick.
Take control of a city or something.
That was his shtick for a
even
long time.
Even Deathstroke in the Teen Titans cartoon wanted to control a city.
He didn't
have the power of Satan behind him. I'm just saying. Aiming low.
That was what they did during the Attitude Era.
He wandered off. The dog wandered off. Fine. He's bored with us.
That's what they did during
the Attitude
Era.
He hates wrestling more than I do.
I know. They did that during the Attitude Era when he was working with
Vince McMahon. I remember. That was when I was watching that.
Ministry.
Something like that. Yep. I just remember watching that because I was like, hey, this Rock seems cool. And then he lost the title and never won it again. That was like...
Who, Rock?
Rock lost it to Triple H and like at least for a very, very long time. I won't say a year. But from my perspective, as a super casual wrestling fan,
right?
Like Triple H held that title forever.
He did for a
while. They were like literally fighting on a bridge or an overpass or something. I remember that. I don't know.
No,
because I never liked Triple H.
Right.
Like, I hear that he's actually better for the company as a whatever a behind the scenes guy. Than McMahon is, but like as a wrestler, he just seemed boring. He's like, I'm a blonde guy and I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, boy, the House of Ideas is cranking them out.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
Because, I grew up in like the much more, when I was really into wrestling, it was the 80s. It was Hogan and Iron Sheik.
Dog.
Roddy Roddy Piper. Who's the Russian guy? I can't remember his name now.
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, but like they were all, they're basically cartoon characters brought to life.
Yeah.
It was very colorful.
Yeah.
So, The Rock kind of had that. And then it was like, I'm a blonde guy and nobody likes me and I'm going to marry Stephanie McMahon. And you're like, okay. This is like real life, only with slightly more fighting.
That's pretty much what their intent was.
okay, well, that was probably a mistake.
Well, but you got to think about it. During the in between the classic WWE stuff, then WWF and the Attitude Era, like, taste changed in
society. Well, no, they were up there back then, the WCW?
Yeah,
was a competitor. Was a serious competitor.
Yep. They were doing the NWO invasion angle, and that was really hot, and people really liked cheering.
Yeah, but they had characters. They seemed like they had characters in that. I never got into it, but they had characters in that, too. This was just like,
oh, they did.
I'm a guy.
They did, and it was because WWE kept losing ground that Vince finally brought the entire locker room together at one point and just basically said, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So you guys basically, here's what we want to do, and you guys just go out there and make it your own. And that's when you got characters like Triple H, that version of Triple H we know today,
And
the version of The Rock, and Stone Cold.
Well, I came in at the end of that, because Stone Cold was already out.
Yeah.
I guess he must have been injured or something, because he was out, and Rock, I literally started watching right when Rock lost the title. And I'm like, really? That's the whole reason I tuned in. I watched it for a couple months. I'm like, is this Triple H guy ever going to... And he like held up for 2 years or something. I'm saying that as a casual viewer who has no command of the facts, but it seemed like every time I turned on, it was him with the title. I'm like,
Hunter held the title for quite some time.
It seemed excessively long.
Not as long as CM Punk. Mm. I think CM Punk's got the one of the longest reigning title reigns. But WrestleMania's coming up.
Yay! Huzzah!
I will watch.
Well, of course you will. Dude, it's not a... I'm going to have to, like, put out so many caveats for this episode, even though this is my heel turn. One of them is, I'm not that into it, but that doesn't mean that I disrespect people who
are.
I
know.
No, but I want that. I know you know that, but I mean, you know.
You want the listeners to
know. I want the listeners to know that it's not that I look down on people that are into wrestling. I think it's fine. I've been into it a couple times myself. It's just not something that I'm into now.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, it's a big thing. I get that it's a big thing, but... You know, and I sincerely hope that you have a enjoyable viewing experience.
We'll see. I'm not that excited about the rest of the show.
Okay.
Like, I like Shane McMahon, but he hasn't been around for like 7 years.
Yeah.
And he hadn't wrestled in probably 8. Mm-hmm. So, and he's, you know.
You think they're going to make the Taker job so that they can do the storyline?
I don't know.
Because it seems kind of stupid and pointless to set that up otherwise. I will have control of WWE. Oh, nope, I lost at WrestleMania, so I guess I'll just disappear for another 7 years.
Everything seems... Well, think about it. Last year, Sting had his first WWE...
Yeah, but he got injured. He got injured.
Well, I'm talking about WrestleMania. He had his first match ever with Triple H. And instead of them basically letting Sting win, even though, you know, basically Vince made Triple H go over... Just as another rub into the wounds of WCW fans to go, yeah, we won, and we won again, so there. Nothing they do makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got some news today that...
News?
Well...
I didn't see any news.
Well, apparently...
I'm not paying attention to anything.
Disney Studios announced that...
Oh, yeah, that.
Indiana Jones 5 is set for the summer of 2019.
Mixed feelings!
With both Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg returning.
And...
No, George
not George Lucas.
Yes, no George Lucas.
Yeah, I kept going back and forth. I'm like, well, on one side, Spielberg's back. On the other side, Ford's like a decade older than he was in Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
On the other side, no George Lucas.
I am honestly sad that they didn't recast. Like, they didn't just...
You don't think it's going to be a handoff film? Well, here's my dashing lab assistant, Chris Pratt.
I think it would have been better if they would just cast Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones.
Just done it James Bond style and do another film. Mad Max style.
Yeah, I mean, Harrison made that role legendary.
Yeah.
I will admit that, but the fact that there's a lot of people just really, they're like, why? No, we honestly don't want to see another Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie. Because he already had limited, you know, maneuverability and stunts in Star Wars. We really don't want to see a geriatric Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago when he did Crystal Skull, he still had some, you know...
He didn't have that much.
Didn't have a whole lot, but... I would have much rather have seen them not reboot the series. No more reboots. Not reboot it. Just casually continue the story with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, just bond it.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I mean, honestly, I think people really just fell in love with the character of Indiana Jones, not so much as Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones.
Oh, I think it was a combination. I think it was... Because Ford has a real charisma. And he pulls, because the whole thing is, like, you need a certain actor to pull off Indiana Jones. And that's why we keep focusing on Chris Pratt, because you need a guy that makes you forget that this guy kind of sucks at his job.
Right.
You know?
And that's
he loses every time.
Yep.
You know, he never gets the thing.
No.
He, you know, there's a meme that's going around that every temple he goes in gets burned down or destroyed.
Yeah.
He kind of sucks. He's kind of, you know, he was kind of the anti, he was conceived as the anti-James Bond. He gets beat up in almost every, I mean, he usually wins at the end, but he gets the snot beaten out of him in every fight.
Yeah.
You know, and you need a guy, and yet Indiana Jones is this cool, studly hero that we grew up with.
You need somebody
because he's Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but you need someone who can also play both sides of that coin. I think Chris Pratt plays both sides of that coin.
Yeah. You need a guy that can pull off that this guy looks like a hero when he's kind of a loser. Yeah.
When he's just a bumbling fool.
When he's a bumbling goof.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you need that charm and you need that charisma. So it's a very tricky thing to recast.
I agree.
Again, I think weirdly we're in an era where we've got a guy like Chris Pratt who probably out of anybody could pull it off.
Right. But they're going to Harrison Ford.
Well, you know what?
But
okay,
is Harrison going to be around to film this in like 3 years?
Maybe. Oh, that's a good question. He got his leg snapped in two on the set of Force Awakens.
Yeah, boy did he.
So yeah, and he keeps crashing his planes.
Boy does he.
Yeah, I think Ally McBeal needs to take away his plane keys. But if they did it a certain way and ended the series, like I can see Spielberg and I can see Ford kind of going. Because if I were them, and the last film was Crystal Skull,
oh yeah,
wouldn't you be like, man, we can end this on a, we gotta end this on a high note,
yeah.
And George isn't around anymore to put the monkeys and the CGI aliens.
Ugh.
Let's end this on a high note, like that. That to me is like the Grail dancing just out of your fingertips.
Yeah.
Like I can get it, I can get it, I can end it on a high note.
I agree.
There's nobody going.
Well, Steven, you know what I think,
Steven Harrison. Let it go.
Yes. I do. Oh, there's a puppy dog again.
Oh, wow.
I do think that is their intent, is to basically end the series the way they want to end it. And I don't think that, even though that Disney has said that they're basically going to continue to release Indiana Jones films.
But I mean, you know what? If you could pull it off, like I said, the temptation, because I did not think they were getting Spielberg back.
No.
Like, that alone makes me go, okay, I cannot write this project off.
Right.
Whatever other complicated feelings I have about it, they got Spielberg back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty, like...
That's a big deal.
That's big.
And Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall.
Yeah, they got everybody but George.
Yeah, everybody but George.
Poor... You know, so I assume George is going to be, you know, I had this idea, but they're not using it. Yeah. I can't even think of something terrible enough that, and I don't even want to give him ideas, so.
Yeah, I got cut out of the process. I don't know why. I thought he should have a sidekick that was an alien named Goobu.
Which is actually from the script.
Yes, yeah. Slash Film, which published one of the places
Slash
that published
film.
The article, talks about Ford will be 77 by the time Indiana Jones 5 opens in 2019.
Meh.
And as charismatic and badass as he still is today, it seems a reasonable bet that Indiana Jones 5 will see him hand the franchise off to a younger star.
I hope he doesn't do that. I hope they wrap up the Ford series and you just bond it with the next guy.
Yep.
That's what I'd rather do.
Moving on, Frank Marshall has said that they wouldn't be taking the James Bond approach of simply casting a new actor as Indiana Jones.
Boo.
And Ford's return confirms that.
Well, I mean, but yeah, for this film, but I mean for the rest of it, because the other thing that you're running into, which has been pointed out a long time ago, is you get to a certain point in history where the world is a known quantity.
Yeah.
You know, where every place that could be explored has kind of been explored,
yeah.
And all the mysteries have kind of been, you know, you're into the 50s now, dude. Those places of mystery and wonder are kind of shrinking.
Yeah.
Where in the 30s, you know, anything was still kind of possible. So... I don't know. I wonder. A weirdly cynical part of me wonders, because they're doing the young Harrison, or they're doing the young Han Solo movie. It's like, you know, we got this kid. Maybe the, you know, we'll have the kid be Indiana Jones and the Han Solos.
And the Han Solos. They did talk about a little bit about the storyline of the Han Solo film.
I know Chewbacca's in it.
And the fact that we will see the origins of Han and Chewie.
Okay. What? I'm throwing up my hands because like someone asked me about that and I said, I bet that the movie will be about Han Solo and Chewbacca first meeting and becoming friends.
Yep.
And, oh my god, I was right!
Yep.
It's almost like I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
I know.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
With fiction stuff, I kind of know what I'm talking about.
With real life stuff, not
with actual facts and numbers and things, no, I get real fuzzy. But hey, with fiction...
Batman vs. Superman comes out this week. Nope, actually.
You know what? Thanks a lot for that.
You're welcome.
Well, we'll be too busy watching your precious only copy of Once We Were Warriors on VHS.
No, it's not Once We Were Warriors. It was... oh, God, what was the name of the movie?
Golden Warrior?
No, oh, God.
Kangaroo People versus God. Satan. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Wasn't it Once We Were Warriors?
No. Not at all.
What is the name of that stupid movie?
Oh, my God. I can't remember now. I just had a brain fart. Oh, well.
It's okay. This is why Indiana Jones is our hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's old like us.
Because he's old like us.
Indiana Jones in the case of the missing movie title.
Back in my day. We knew that they were doing an animated Batman Killing Joke. We learned about that, I believe, at San Diego Comic-Con last year.
We knew Hamill was doing it.
But we also found out recently that both Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, and Tara Strong will be back.
Oh, okay. Because apparently, Tara Strong does, like, she's one of those voice actresses that does everything. So that's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Like her and, what is it, Gray DeLeslie? DeLeese?
Yes.
Like, they do everything.
But Tara Strong will not, of course, be Harley Quinn because she does not exist in this storyline.
Okay, first of all, Tara Strong, she may be doing Harley Quinn now, but it was really Arlene Sorkin who created Harley Quinn.
But Tara Strong will be playing Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Batgirl.
Well, I assume that because she's the female, she's the only female character in the whole thing.
Yeah. So, but we will get an animated Killing Joke. A very probably a hard, I don't know how that's going to be rated, but it's going to be a...
There's one thing you can cut and you can get a PG-13 out of it.
Of course, anyone who hasn't experienced Batman the Killing Joke basically sees the Joker kidnapping Commissioner Gordon and shooting and paralyzing his daughter Barbara Gordon.
Not in that order.
No, but woven in throughout is a potential origin story for the Joker in which he's a failed comedian driven mad by one bad day during which he saw his pregnant wife killed and himself permanently disfigured after falling into a vat of chemicals. So it's definitely one of the most acclaimed Batman stories and probably arguably the defining Joker story.
It is the defining Joker story.
So it's going to be nice to
it's,
see.
It's either that or like the Killing Fish from Batman the Animated Series are like the Joker stories.
Yeah.
And that one combines two classic comic stories. So yes. it's got that synthesis of Five-Way Revenge and Laughing Fish.
Yes.
So...
So we will get Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy both back as the Joker and Batman, respectively.
Because he did a thing. Hamill did a thing on YouTube years ago where he did the soliloquy at the end, which was just flipping chilling. It's like, oh my god.
Yes.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this because I really do love Killing Joke. I think it's brilliant. I know that Moore has kind of walked away from it in later years.
Well, Moore's walked away from pretty much everything he created.
But this was specific because it. Again, as you were teasing the potential rating or issue, there's a question mark about what happens, and you can go. And when I read it, I didn't even realize. Like I didn't even it went over my head, like that what happened to Barbara.
Oh, that Joker basically had his way with her.
See, I never saw that. He just like basically took pictures of her as she's lying there in agony.
Right.
I never got that he did anything else, but apparently, you can read it that way.
Yeah.
And more apparently. Feels uncomfortable about that these days. Different culture, different times.
Apparently.
Again, like I said, I never picked up on that.
No.
I knew what Joker was doing was creepy and weird and bad, but I never went there.
Just interesting.
And now she can walk again because
I know, right?
Reasons.
Yes.
And she's like 12 or something.
Yeah, she's a youngin. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Some toy news that came out.
Okay.
Really, the only thing that I saw that was of any super major interest was the Lego Ideas 2015 reveal was released. So Lego Ideas announced what the picks were for the spring, the first quarter 2015. Because I think they do the ideas...
2017? We're in 2016.
Or this was the second round of 2015 LEGO Ideas. So this was the end of last year.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, are we... apparently they're building a time machine.
I was getting there, and I kept stumbling over myself.
Okay.
One of them is the Caterham Super 7, which... is Carl Gretrix is known in the LEGO fan community for his photorealistic models of cars, trains, and aircraft. He's perfectly captured the classic British sports car in LEGO bricks, and now you'll be able to own one too.
That's one I won't buy.
And the second one is Adventure Time. These posable brick-built Adventure Time figures are coming to a land of ooh near you. Yep, it's finally time for LEGO Adventure Time, thanks to a better monkey.
See, I don't like that they're all builds.
I'm not a fan of that either, but... I think this might be a way for them. Well, then again, it might change.
Well, that's just the prototype. Because like the Ghostbusters, it was a prototype, and with
yeah. I mean that eventually may change. The Adventure Time stuff, they look kind of cool.
I'd rather they be minifigures.
I would too. I'd rather
with some kind of like the Treehouse set.
Yep, I would rather it be that way as well. I think that would be the better one. The photorealistic cars are pretty cool looking, and they're
slick. But I'm not gonna buy them.
Yeah. They're really well done, though.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, nobody's... I don't...
Well, people bought the bird set, so...
Yeah, LEGO people will buy the crap out of the cars.
Yeah, LEGO... But, yeah. And again, I'm not... That... If you like what you like, that's fine. Right. I'm not that interested in the photorealistic cars.
No. But, one of the other things that's happening right now is... a petition...
I need something to make like a chair smacking noise.
a petition started was started... basically, we talked about last week the fact that... I don't
Did think, we? No, it broke after. Yeah, it officially broke after. We're cool. We know stuff.
We've discussed it and we've speculated about it.
Speculated, but...
The fact that FunPub was losing the license to both the collector clubs for... Joe and Transformers, as well as the conventions for both of those properties, and it was being taken over by another company. And FunPub released an email shortly after we recorded last week that basically said, yes, this is true. This will be the last BotCon. This will be the last JoeCon. The collector clubs will end after the...
We knew that the subscriptions all ended at the end of the year.
Yes.
Which was a sign that something... Okay, officially, on the record, we knew that... another company had gotten the Transformers license.
Yes.
But we didn't know exactly what that meant. And we knew that the subscriptions for both Joe and... not subscriptions, but the memberships for Joe and bot clubs were ending at the end of this year as opposed to just rolling over to whenever you had subscribed.
Right.
Which was another sign. Now we've got this email that basically says, hey, this is... And again, they didn't even say it was the last one. They just said it was everything but that. It was like, it's been a great run, and yada yada, and we're really glad that we've done this, and people in the know, and I'm not saying that we're cool or anything, but yeah, they lost the rights to do at least Transformers, and I think any Hasbro official
convention,
yes. And the implication seems to be that they've lost the rights to do a fan club as well.
Yes.
That we kind of got from the email. It seemed like they were losing the rights to do
basically, the fan club. Basically, FunPub is pretty much... has been written out of...
Yes.
Of everything with those two properties.
Those were the two that they had. I think Hasbro... We'll get to this in a minute when I get to my larger theory, okay. But I think Hasbro is doing something.
Yes. A petition was started to save G.I. Joe, and basically it's hashtag Save G.I. Joe, and it's on change.org, and it reads, Dear Hasbro Incorporated, the G.I. Joe fan community understands that the contract between Hasbro and Fun Publications will not be extended, and that the 2000 International G.I. Joe Collectors Convention, JoeCon, is in question. We respectfully ask that you consider the impact that the G.I. Joe brand has had on fans worldwide, and specifically the importance of continuing JoeCon. In recent years, more and more fans and collectors have been drawn to the JoeCon experience. Traveling from as far as Australia, South America, and Europe, fans and collectors come from around the world to enjoy JoeCon, collect convention exclusives, and celebrate their love of this brand. JoeCon has taken on the feeling of a family reunion, growing to be more than a simple toy show with each passing year, and these annual conventions have resulted in lifelong friendships and a significant boost to the G.I. Joe fan community. Year after year, we've watched children grow up around the various vendor halls of JoeCon. This event brings families together and provides a forum for fans to convene and celebrate their love of G.I. Joe. This would not exist without JoeCon. The popularity of JoeCon is on the rise. For example, to promote JoeCon 2015, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club partnered with The Finest, the world's premier G.I. Joe costume club, and ToyWorldOrder.com to film a series of
promotional... Oh, that's what...
Yeah, to film a series of promotional commercials in advance of the convention. Business Weekly, Comedy Central, Huffington Post, MSNBC, and MTV were some of the media outlets to publish a photograph of the mayor of Springfield, Illinois, presenting the key to the city of...
The S is silent.
I realized that when I said it. Thank you. I'm trying to get through this.
I know.
Presenting the key...
I'm trying to mess you up.
Shut up. Presenting the key to the city to a costume Cobra Commander, the advertisements went viral and generated a tremendous amount of international hype for JoeCon 15. The fan community was thrilled to help the G.I. Joe brand achieve such widespread international media coverage, and this helped expand last year's JoeCon to a significantly broader fan base. They go on to... There's a few more paragraphs of such that I won't go at.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were really going to commit to this.
No, it ends with, we ask that Hasbro please consider the impact that G.I. Joe brand and JoeCon have had on countless lives and families worldwide. As longstanding members of the G.I. Joe fan community, we ask Hasbro to continue to provide this forum for generations of G.I. Joe fans to celebrate our love of the brand. Please consider continuing the International Joe Collectors Convention in 2017 and beyond. And basically, it was a thank you, and it was created by the Coil Club, Full Force Podcast, General Joe's, The Finest, a G.I. Joe Costume Club, What's on Joe Mind Podcast, the G.I. Joe Collector Community, and G.I. Joe Fans Worldwide.
And the person who officially did it was our friend Joe Cole.
Was our friend Joe Cole,
which is going to be my first official caveat.
Yes.
Which is that she is one of the nicest, sweetest, most talented people that we've ever met in this hobby.
Yes.
I want that on the record.
Yes.
And that her boyfriend could kill us.
Yes.
And they'd never find the bodies.
Now, of course, I don't have that strong of an attachment to JoeCon. I went last year. I had a fun time. I met some new people. It was kind of cool. It was fun. But I also was like, well, I'm not going to go back because once was enough for me.
Yeah, you're not driving out to Colorado.
No, I'm not driving to Colorado for it. I know a lot of people, this has been a yearly trek for many, many decades.
Well, okay.
Between Fun Pub and whoever had it before... You know, it seems like...
I think Fun Pub started with Joe, and then they picked up BotCon.
Okay.
I may be wrong, but I believe that was the story that was told, is they were doing well enough with JoeCon at the time that Hasbro approached them and said, would you mind running the Transformer one, too? I believe that's the story, because Brian's a Joe guy.
Yes. He's a 12-inch
Joe guy. He's a 12-inch Joe guy, but he's a Joe guy. Well, yeah. The con didn't... This whole schism didn't happen until the later years.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind.
Yes.
I was going somewhere.
Yes, you were.
You keep talking. You, I'm sorry. You blah, 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 went to the thing this time, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Now that it's time.
Yes.
Okay. The second thing I want to get on record really quickly is anything I say about the club is not intended as a personal slam. This is about what this ultimately boils down to is about business.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
And so I may say some things that come off as a little mean or patronizing, and it's not a personal thing, but they are a small organization. In fact, one of the things that's great about Fun Pub, if you call for their customer service, you talk to an actual person, and Irizarry knows her name, and she is the most amazing, wonderful person you can ever hope to work with.
Yes.
If you have a problem, and a weird way. In the modern era, that's unprofessional.
Yes.
To actually have a human being that can help you with things is unfortunately unprofessional.
Right.
But that's where I'm going with that. Because what it is con culture, I really believe, and I don't know if this other company put it in Hasbro's ear, or if Hasbro came up with it first and then went out to this other company, which I think is probably the way it went. I think Hasbro came up with this. Hasbro decided they wanted to go a certain way, and then they reached out to this company. It's how I suspect it went. If it's the other way around, I'm wrong. I'm wrong all the time. But they looked at convention culture.
Yes.
They looked at Comic-Con. They looked at New York Comic-Con. They looked at... I'm not saying literally, but, you know, Dragon Con, Gen Con, C2E2. We're not good enough for them anymore.
Right.
Well, they have new management. If we get to the... They apparently have new management, and they're dissing a lot of people. We're not even special that we got dissed.
Right.
But, and they said, our golden geese are not laying enough eggs, is what happened, I will tell you. Because I've seen this happen before. I've seen it happen before where they go, our brand name is big, but we're not making as much as we think we should be making. And I think that's what happened. And they want something. They're not in the business of family reunions.
No.
They're in the business of doing something to promote their brand. And they want something like Celebration. They want something big and professional. And God, I mean, this year the club pulled off both registrations without a hitch. But last year they screwed up BotCon. And, yeah. And, you know, and all this stuff happened before this registration this year. So, I mean, it was almost too little too late. And I think Hasbro wants to do these things. I think they want to do BotCon. They want to do Transformers as a big... They think they've got four big blockbuster movies under their belt. They want something bigger and bigger than what FunPub can provide them.
Yes.
I think G.I. Joe is... Because they've been doing this for a long time, you know, kind of hinting that they're going to fold everything into one, you know, that maybe they'll have a Hasbro con. That's the thing, is if they give you a con, I think it'll be a mixed con. It'll be a Hasbro products convention, or it won't be a Joe con.
No, and it's...
And even if it is a Joe con, it won't be what the guys that created this petition want, because that's not what Hasbro wants. And this is something, even Irizarry has talked about this. Other people have talked about this, that the flip side of having a family reunion is that families are only so large.
Right.
And they want something big and broad that brings in new bodies and new money. I know that they said that people are raising their kids, and I know that. I was waiting in line, and the little baby's name was Joe Colton. Baby's actual name, apparently, was Joe Colton, whatever his last name was. I believe that. But you still want to bring in... They want more eggs. They want more eggs from their golden geese, and that means a broader audience than what a niche thing like what JoeCon was doing would provide. And it's not... I don't even think it's malice. I think it's just... They think they can do better. And they're going to try for something bigger and more professional and colder and less intimate.
Well, and you figure this, and you talk about con culture and the fact that how it's become this other entity altogether where they just keep getting bigger and bigger.
And guys like you and me can't even get into Hasbro now.
San Diego Comic-Con is such a beast to itself.
Yeah, it's a monster.
It's become something other than a convention, even though it's still called San Diego Comic-Con. It's not...
Oh, years ago there were stories about the comic guys kind of shoved off in a corner being resentful about how they were treated. That was years ago.
And now I dare you to walk around San Diego Comic-Con and find a normal comic dealer that isn't selling nothing but graded comic books. There's very few of them, probably.
I never even made it to the comic dealers. Even when I went, I was going for the toy dealers and the Hasbro. But, you know, and the irony is, at the same time, the comic stuff itself, he's left us again, has become, like you won't see a lot of comic dealers, but you'll see Thor and Black Widow.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this today, and what's kind of funny is if you do the math, you were probably, if you were 6 or 7 years, if you're in your late 20s now, you're probably about 6 or 7 years old in the mid-90s, what was Toys R Us? Toy Biz. Toy Biz and Dark Knight, or Batman animated toys.
Yep.
And that's the culture now. That's what these kids grew up with, was all these Toy Biz X-Men and Marvel
figures. Good, let them buy all those 90s toys, let our 80s toys get cheaper, and I'll be happy.
Oh, absolutely. I got no beef with that. That's a whole other thing. I wouldn't mind if some of our generation started dying off. And
now, with Victory Hill
Exhibitions... scoop up stuff.
I know. With Victory Hill Exhibitions basically having the license for the Transformer experience, which basically entitles them also somehow with Hasbro, they have the Joe license probably too.
I believe they have... Again, I don't know this for 100% fact, but I believe they have any official Hasbro convention.
Which is probably why... I mean, BronyCon, I don't think was ever an official convention.
Think it was. But, I don't think Hasbro would be comfortable endorsing that.
No, but, you know, with it's sad to see JoeCon and BotCon end. I know there's a lot of people that love going. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of them feel like family because they see each other every year.
And this is something I've told you every time I've gone. From the first time I went, I said it felt like a family reunion. Yes.
And I'm sad for those people that it's ending. I really am.
Yeah, I am too.
I wish that I signed the petition to support them. I always try to be the most...
But see, I feel like it's offering false hope.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, is I always try to be the most positive. I try to... try to give the most positive outlook, but I'm looking at this petition going, contracts are signed. They're,
yeah, exactly.
That's not going to change.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't think, you know, everyone's like, well, maybe they, you know, surely they've got a plan for next year. Well, probably
they might
not
have a plan, but you're not going to like it.
You're not going to like it.
Because it's not going to be JoeCon.
It's not going to be JoeCon, and it's probably not going to involve G.I. Joe until there's a movie. And then if it's successful enough, then it might involve G.I. Joe because... I mean,
it took four pretty big Transformers movies for them to make this move. So it might not be even after the first. I mean, the Joe movie, we've had two that haven't really burned up the box office. So, I mean, this next one's going to be pretty big. And I think they'd be more comfortable with just like a pan. You know, it's HasbroCon. It's Transformers. Or not Transformers, but it's Micronauts.
And unfortunately, when Hasbro does. If they decide. Because right now, the Transformers exhibition is not a convention. It is an exhibition. There are no current plans on the table from everything that I've
read.
That we know of. For them.
There's a lot of. I mean, they wouldn't have sealed up the convention rights.
Well, that's true, but.
And that's the thing, is that they want. If you're going to offer this thing, you want the official convention rights. And that's why Fun Pop's not going to get anything. Because Fun Pop's not going to put on an unofficial.
No.
Fan con.
No.
I mean, and that's, you know, it's too much work and it's too much money.
Yeah.
To do something on it. Because part of the draw are the stuff, the official toys.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to get that.
No. But, yeah, I mean, it's sad that this is. You know,
it is, and I've never said it wasn't sad. And I mean, you know me pretty well, and Mike I think knows me pretty well at this time. But I think some of these guys don't know how much, especially the second JoeCon that I went to, and the one in Springfield, what it meant to me to be accepted.
Yeah,
you know that means a lot to me.
Yeah,
and these guys like Godso, like Kavanaugh, they just accept you as part of the family, and you like you know. What that means to me.
Yeah.
And I it does make me sad that they're going to lose that.
Yeah.
But they're going to lose that.
They're going to lose that, but there's also while there won't be any more official.
Oh, you're going to step on my thing.
I was getting you there.
Okay.
I'm getting you to that next step.
Okay.
Or else we'll just keep spinning our wheels. No.
I was waiting for you to kind of. So here's my thing, cuz I do feel like this petition, while well-meaning, is a placebo. It's like pressing the elevator button while you're waiting for the elevator to come. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
So here's my thing for moving forward, all right? Is number one, go to Loveland, and you can tell that I'm being sincere because I actually called it by its actual name.
This is true.
Go to Loveland, find people that you know, give them a hug, shake hands, make new friends, reconnect with old friends, find a quiet spot somewhere to sit and talk. I know that we had the official wake at Springfield, but you know what? Go out one night, raise a glass of Gary Gogglehead. If you see Brian or Pete or any of these the Fun Pub guys, whether you like them, whether you hate them, they have put on this thing for years. Shake their hands and say thank you.
Yes.
We really appreciate what you've done. And let it go at that. Like, let that go at that. Don't go, you screwed up the rich. Shake their hands and say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, hook up, go crazy. The last night, find a partner of the gender of your choosing and have a long, slow dance in the hallways. And in the morning, let it go. Because it's gone.
Yeah.
But, while you're there, if you happen to see a rather large gentleman with a deep baritone voice and an infectious laugh who answers to the name of Mike, he runs a convention called CoilCon. And you might want to go up to him and ask him what you can do to help.
Yes.
Because I think he would appreciate the help.
Yes.
And CoilCon, you know, is like a family. And they can... You can have another family reunion, but you're going to have to do it yourselves.
Yeah.
You're going to have to step up and do it yourselves. You're not going to get an official convention like this.
No.
Like, the next one's going to be big and cold and corporate and celebration-esque. So, CoilCon, Jolanta... Yes. For people across the pond, roll out roll call. All these. I'm sure there's other ones that I don't know. There's a New Jersey one that always happens.
New Jersey Comic Con.
Well, yeah, but it seems like it has a real G.I. Joe heavy.
Yes, it does.
Find these people. Ask them what you can do. This is the future, and you need to embrace that. Don't write off the past, but you need to accept that this thing is going away. and you need to build a new future. And that was part of my, you know, the thing is, if fans in the late 70s had been like fans today, you would never have gotten Real American Hero in the first place.
No.
You have to accept that things change and things go away, and sometimes you get something better.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't, but sometimes, you know, something new comes along and it's amazing. And that was kind of, that was kind of my point. And then they announced Indiana Jones 5, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, Dave's like, dang it.
Dang it, I had this whole great thing about facing the future and moving on from the past and letting go. I actually had a meme of Henry Sr., you know, going, let it go.
Yes.
I was looking at the lyrics for Let It Go. I was going to try to write my own version of it. And then Indiana Jones 5 came along, and I'm like, well, I can't let that go because it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, see?
And Hasbro might make more Indiana Jones toys.
Yeah, we can only hope.
I can only hope. I love those things. Yeah, that was literally the only good that came out of Crystal Skull was that toy line.
Pretty much, because you got a toy line for every movie.
Ah, I got a toy line for every movie. It was fantastic.
We journeyed to Toy Man, the Toy Man toy show.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
This past Sunday.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. Dave and I got up early and journeyed south through the rain to Bridgeton, Missouri.
We saw fire and we saw rain.
And Blinky Towns.
We saw Al Blinky.
A Blinky
that's spread south.
It's a hive mind.
It is a hive. I've talked to someone who knows something about the Blinkies. They're scary. They're scarier than we ever thought.
Yes, they are.
They're coming for us.
But we got to see a lot of cool people like we always get to see. We got to see all kinds of great fans, great people.
Okay, we got to see our friend Dealer Dan and his Dealer Dalek. Dan,
yes, and his
Dalek. Dan.
No, his name is Dalek Steve.
Why does everything got to be named Steve?
Because that's just the way the puppet has my mind working now. Everything is Dalek.
The puppet Steve. Only calls everything Steve because he doesn't know anybody named Steve.
And I don't know any Daleks named Steve.
They wouldn't get mad. There wouldn't be anybody going, you're talking about me, aren't you? You know, you call it like Dalek Dan or Dalek Scotty, and suddenly people are like, hey you're making a Dalek Bob. Hey, you're making a commentary about me, aren't you?
Dalek Doug.
So I don't know anybody named Steve.
Yes.
That's why he was. It rhymes with cheese.
Yes.
All right, so Dalek Steve, apparently. We saw Brian and Matt.
Who I feel bad because Brian brought a giant Kermit I was supposed to bring home with me, and we got tied up with a bunch of other stuff and then bolted for lunch and completely forgot to go back and get that Kermit.
You never said anything to me about it.
Well, I forgot about it.
Because you were supposed to pick that up at another one.
Well, yeah. I knew he was bringing it, and he saw me, for TMI out there for people, when we got there, I told Dave, I got to poop. So you go do what you need to do, and then he ran into goal. I was like, go with David, I got to poop. And as I was going, here comes Brian, and I'm like, ah. He's like, I got that Kermit. You want it? I'm like, I gotta poop, man. I'll be back.
And then, we were there for a couple of hours after
that.
Well,
but they were busy. Every time I walked by, there were so many people around the table that I was like, well, crap.
I will say that, like, they were, this time especially, it got to the point that I would just stop halfway through an aisle and turn around and go the other way.
Yeah, because
they were too crowded.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
It was bad.
But good for them. I mean, because they added, I think Chris added, like, 10 or 11 more tables.
Okay.
And they sold out. I mean,
dude, all I know is there was some grousing from some of the dealers about the situation.
Yes. Because Artist Alley is all nice and cushy and
but Artist wide. Alley is called all nice and spaced out, and you can walk and you can move around, and then over on the other side, it's all squished up against the wall.
Yeah. So, and they changed Dealer Dan's spot for the first time, and
No. He made a choice about that because he wanted the Dalek to be right by the door.
Oh, okay.
Now, he explained that. See, that was one thing as well. You were pooping. I was slowly making my way to Dealer Dan.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Son of a...
You could have held it.
No, I couldn't have made a poop.
Could have held it. Could have held it, or you could have... Honestly, if you pooped quicker, you probably could have beaten me. Because I was with Gaul. I was trying to be polite. So I'm like going up and down the aisle, like, just get distracted by something so I can say, okay, I'll see you later, Dave. I mean, eventually it happened.
Yeah.
Eventually. Well, hey, man.
Dave bought the last Waterworld figure we both needed.
Yes.
The hardest one to find.
The Bola Strike.
Yeah.
Mariner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so. you're the one that told me. You shouldn't have told me.
I shouldn't have, but I'm a good friend.
Oh, my God. How many toy shows have we gone to together? This is like almost, I think this is literally the first time we've had a toy that we both really wanted.
That's true.
And all you people listening out there who've always asked that question, yes, it's finally happened that we actually kind of...
Because he bought it and showed it to me, and I called him dirty names.
Yes, he did. I finally bought a thing that Jason wanted.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, you could have gotten there first!
But we also saw our dealer friend and Toy World Order fan...
Yeah, I was getting there. Yep. I got distracted.
Skinny North.
Skinny North.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, who brought some stuff specifically knowing we were going to be at that show.
Yeah.
For instance, when I ran into him and we got to talk and he's like, you know who I am? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you recognize me? He's like, I'm Skinny. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know who you are. He on his table, he had both Dick Tracy cars from the Playmates line. I was like, oh, in a box. I was like, oh. I was like, what do you want for him? And he cut me a deal that I was like, oh, I can't not buy those because that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Skinny had some great stuff. First time in a while, well, first time in any toy show, including last fall's with Matt and Chris and Matt Toys, that I've ever seen a sealed, well, in a mailer box, Captain Harris sealed. Like, the mailer box had been cut, so yeah. You could see inside of it, but Harris was sealed in there. I was like, oh, neat. Like, I don't need another Captain Harris. So
no, you don't.
I've got one. That's all I need. But yeah, I was like, that's kind of cool. Skinny had some good stuff. Dealer Dan had brought some cool stuff.
Yeah, Skinny's. I got my Doom Roll off of Skinny.
Yeah, you got your Doom Roll.
He gave me a good deal on that, too.
Matt and Brian had some cool stuff. You got some Otherworld.
I got some Otherworld figures from Matt, and yeah. I got some Legos from Brian.
Yeah. So they had some great stuff, and a lot of the dealers had a lot of good stuff this show, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot more vintage stuff overall than there was a lot of the newer stuff. Like, there was still a lot of, like, 90s.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was still a lot of new stuff. There was vintage stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So that was nice to kind of...
Well, Dick Tracy's 90s.
Yeah, but it was nice to see, because I think the last show we went to was just a lot of, like, stuff that was in stores.
I will absolutely concur with that.
It's like, this sucks, man.
There's a lot of, hey, here's a Star Wars figure that I just bought all 12 of from the store.
Yeah, it's like, oh, all right, yeah. Oh, crap. That's not what we came here for this, but oh, well. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's always a really nice show.
Really nice shoe.
Really, really nice shoe. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, we really did find a lot of cool stuff. And I did. I mean, I found some good stuff. I didn't really...
I found cool stuff. I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as a lot, but I found some cool. Yeah. I did get... Who's your friend who sold you the airship? The guy sets up. He's got all the pops.
Oh, that's Mark.
It's Mark. Okay. Yeah, so I bought a couple of... diecast Star Wars vehicles from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I still need... Kind of shocked how many I still need, but apparently I do.
Yeah,
apparently I do. So I got the TIE Fighter and the X-Wing off of him in really good shape, and he cut me a deal, which was cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Mark's a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like it.
Yeah. Mark is a good, good man. But I got some Army Gear stuff from Skinny, which is cool, which is a great, kooky, weird line that is...
It's a Duvall line, yeah, I'll tell you that much.
Boy, is it. And then I was trying to think what else we saw. Oh, you saw, well, the story of the day was a dealer had a pretty beat up ride on speeder bike.
Speeder bike. They made a bike back in the day that looked like a speeder bike. Yeah. A little. I don't even know if you actually could buy it or if it was one of the contests.
Giveaway. I think it was a contest thing.
And it was in bad shape.
It was in bad shape. It was missing the front.
Yeah, it was missing the the veins.
Yeah, it had a big crack in the back of it. And I think he only wanted, what, $150?
He wanted $98.
$98 for it, okay. So, halfway through the show, it's gone, and it ended up on another dealer's table, and that dealer had $800 on it.
Yeah.
And I walked by and saw that and went, oh, God.
And here's the thing.
Like, I was like, no one's paying that kind of money. Like, you paid $95 for it. That's all you're going to get back out of it, if that.
I mean, you know me.
Yeah.
Like, I walked away from that at $100.
Yeah, you were like, eh.
That should tell you what kind of condition that was in.
Yeah, it was pretty damn beat.
Because I know what that thing is. And, like, even in that condition, I was, like, for a second, like, no, it's just too awful.
Yeah.
I don't care how rare it is.
It was just way too rough.
Yeah, it was awful.
But I could not help but laugh out loud. I was like, holy crap, man.
Madness.
I was like, you are out of your damn mind.
Yeah, because
that is insane.
That was crazy talk.
That was the
speaking of insane. Okay.
Oh, what was?
I was just gonna like transition into meeting up with Irizarry afterwards.
Oh yeah. Well, we met up with Irizarry after the show, and we went to lunch with him and Gaul, and Gaul joined us for a little bit before he had to go back to the show to meet somebody that he forgot he was supposed to meet.
Yeah.
Gall's got a lot of things going on. I think when I called Gall to see what he was doing, he called me the wrong name, and I let it go. I was like, aw. I was like, hey, it's Jason. I think he said, hey, Dan. I was like, I don't think that's my name, but okay. You know who it is. I guess it's all that matters. But, yeah, we journeyed to McDonald's across the street, fed our arteries good grease, and sat down and talked for a while. It's always pleasant conversations.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to cut it short because I was trying to rush home to get to record the other podcast, but apparently I didn't have to.
But Toy Man was good. It kind of primed things for next month's King County.
Yep.
So.
Last weekend of April.
Yes, last weekend of April. That's what sucks. It's a long wait till April.
C2E2 is this. Really a long wait till April? Aren't you going to like let your finances recharge?
Well, my finances are there.
Okay.
C2E2 is this weekend, though, this coming weekend in Chicago. And, of course, as always, in the block at C2E2 at booth 760, you can find all the gang from Nerd City. Yes. Our good pals over at Nerd City, which the Nerd City booth would feature beloved individuals and creative entities like Galaxor, Until We Burn, Turbo Pistola, Kaiju Chaos, Manor Monster, JB Rowe, Junkfed, Battle Babies, and of course our buddy Pixel Dan.
Yeah.
And guest exclusives by Toyog Customs and Good Lake Toys. So my buddy Ryan Lanston will be there this weekend. It's going to be, C2E2 sounds like it's going to be a fun show. Dave and I, unfortunately, again, are not going.
Not going. Which is sad, because I would like to see Benjamin Scott Spencer. I'd like to see Brandon.
Well, but what's funny is we're going to see them.
At King County.
Yeah, they're going to be at King County.
I'm sure.
We'll go have lunch with them like we always do after King County. So we'll get to see everybody.
But I just missed getting to hang out with them. Last year, especially, Benjamin was like cute because he kept like dragging me off. Like, look at this D&D thing. This is so cool. Like, it's kind of cool.
Ben's a good man.
He's cool. I can't help but love his enthusiasm for
God bless him.
Stuff, for D&D stuff.
God bless him in his drunken haze.
Yeah, he's got that. I think we mentioned that we should get him and Kavanaugh together and just. Let him go.
Noted author James Kavanaugh and Nerd City's Benjamin Scott Spencer. They could make a buddy cop TV series where
nothing ever gets solved.
Because Kavanaugh would be passed out on the floor and Benjamin was like, ooh, shiny things.
Yeah.
We love you both.
They are great
guys. They are. We love them both.
We're just teasing.
Yes.
Because we're dorks.
That's what we do. Well, what do you say we answer some fan questions?
Yeah, all
right. Our buddy Robert Dale Owens Jr. of JR's Mini Mall.
Did you burp halfway through that?
No, I couldn't talk there for a second. I had a mini stroke. He asks, once again, when are you guys going to grow up? You know, it's funny. He asked that question.
I want to grow up.
It's funny because somebody else commented on an old review we did. Well, not an old review, but
I wonder if that was him.
The Marauders review. I don't think that was him. Somebody commented on the Marauders review.
Under a pseudonym.
And I basically answered it to the fact of, well, you know, we've got mortgages and bills.
I don't have mortgages. I do have bills.
Well, I was like, and this stuff makes us happy. And I said, and perhaps one day you'll find a hobby that makes you happy as well. So thanks for watching. We're not growing up. I mean, honestly, doing this, the toy stuff, all that, if Dave and I didn't have that, we would look way older than we do.
Well, my thing has always been, what else do you do?
Well,
watch sports.
Yeah. All that's boring to me.
Yeah, I mean, I read books.
I
like books, but I mean, like, yeah. I just, what is it that we're supposed to do besides collect toys? You know? Yeah. Like, bang chicks. Well, okay, I would love to, but you require the chick's consent, which is the tricky part, and the part that I'm not good at.
Which is the tricky part. I like toy collecting. I like what I do.
I love toy collecting.
I like being a big dork, and that's just who I am.
It's not that I like it. It's not that I dislike it. It's who I am. Yeah. If I try to be something else, I'll be fake.
Yes, very true.
It's also the only thing I kind of, like, know when I'm good at.
That's true. For both of us.
Sure.
Speaking of Ryan Lanston, he says, I know y'all have heard this before, so I'll get more specific. What fantasy sword and sorcery type movie do you wish had a toy line? Personally, I would have loved figures from the Beastmaster.
That is an excellent call. Beastmaster would be a cool one. With the, I can't remember if it was a tiger or a panther.
It was Mark Singer.
Yeah. In the first one. Like, yeah. Then they did weird sequels, which I never saw. But the first one.
And a TV series.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But yeah. But like, I just remember that first movie ran on TBS like every constantly
yeah.
through the '80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Beastmaster's a good one. Sword and the Sorcerer's a good one.
Sword and the Sorcerer's a good one.
I wouldn't mind official Conan figures from the two Conan movies. Would
yeah,
be cool.
Yeah.
It's what is it? It's Hawk the Slayer. Is that classic? I think it's Hawk the Slayer. Is this classic, like Z-grade fantasy movie that like. You saw on HBO once in the '80s, and like everybody, if you ever saw it, you'd remember it. They had the automatic crossbow that was like super cool.
Oh,
and,
neat!
Oh, it was one of those like you see it and it becomes legendary, and you never see it again. So I think it's called Hawk the Slayer.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot. I love sword and sorcery movies.
It's a shame a lot of them didn't get toy lines because, well, I mean,
well, a lot of them are pretty R-rated.
Yeah,
a lot back of them, in the day,
yeah.
There were many bosoms. Yes, bosoms and blood were a staple of the genre.
Yes, yes, it was.
Again, I love sword and sorcery movies. Yes.
Mike Irizarry wants to know, what are the dates for Karate Commando Con 2016? Well, unfortunately, Karate Commando Con...
2016 is not happening, but, no. But Mike, mark your calendar, February 30th, 2017, Karate Commando Con.
Yes, maybe.
February 30th.
Unless Kenner pulls the license from me. Huh? Oh, okay. Benjamin Scott Spencer says, speaking of Benjamin Scott Spencer, what is your favorite D&D monster? Mine is Noel. San Dimas High School football rules. And he said that's a valid question because they'd all make great toys.
Noels are pretty cool. I like Noels. I would love a toy of the Beholder. I think that's a cool monster design. The floating eyeball with the eyeballs. I got a Medusa. I got a Gorgon.
Yes.
The Beholder is probably the one thing I would love to get an actual toy of.
Yes.
Gnolls are a good choice.
I don't know what gnolls are.
They're like big humanoids with dog heads.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of humanoids with X heads.
Yeah. In
D&D. Yeah,
there's only so much they could do at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the old school D&D had its this weird cobbled together charm. I almost feel like the later editions, they become kind of they've got a slickness to them and a uniformity that kind of loses that charm a little bit, I think.
Ah.
Where in the old school, it was just throw everything at the wall and rip off Tolkien.
See what happens now.
Yeah, basically.
Our buddy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, another Twitter question.
Yep. Eric Van Jimmy.
He keeps asking. You keep ruining his name.
He says, how many complete lines of Star Wars figures does Dave have?
How many complete lines of Star Wars figures? Yeah. None.
Yeah, none. Unfortunately. Well, I mean, I guess if you count it subsets, like
what?
Well, they do, well, I guess not, because I guess they were all... Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, no.
I mean, it's... Because the thing is, like, especially with modern stuff, like, I wouldn't get, like, the second version of Anakin, or the second version of you know...
No.
Of Mace Windu or something. Like, there's a lot of Episode II figures I just didn't buy, because they're Jedi Knights that I had from Episode I.
Yeah.
And they have those stupid action poses. And,
yeah.
Yeah, like, there's literally... I don't think there's any line that I have where I'm complete on. Just modern era is by choice, and then vintage era is just, you know...
It's too much of it.
I'm scrambling. I did get a Tusken Raider, so we're plus one.
Yes, that's true.
In the vintage line.
That's right. He wants to know how many WrestleManias I've been to. Two of them.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 18.
Okay.
One was in Texas.
Wow.
Yes.
I remember you talking about that drive.
Houston, the Astrodome.
Yes.
And the other one was in Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, yeah. So I have been to two of them. I'd like to go to another one someday, but not in Itaesu, probably. I'm not a fan of the fact that they're in big stadiums now, and and he also says, he also wants to know, of course, P.S., don't worry about the name.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and he wants to know if you ever figured out if Asti fits into the X-Wing.
I did. I am sorry that I did not follow up on that. I did, in fact. He does not.
No.
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 No. I did follow up on that, and he does not. Again, a Poe barely fits in the X-Wing.
Yes. Well, that's
and Asti's a little thicker, and I think they reused the body for... he's in the two-pack with the Snowtrooper guy. Snap. Mm. Snap. Who's played by... He is an Abrams regular. He was in Heroes.
Richard.
No, he was Matt the cop in Heroes. Matt Gruenberg, and he was the pilot in Lost.
Yes.
In the very first episode. Yes. He does not fit in it either.
He has been in pretty much every J.J. Abrams thing, I think, at some
point. I would think so.
They've been friends since kindergarten.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I did not know, but yep. I knew he was one of Abrams' guys.
Yep, they've been friends since they were little.
Okay.
That's why he's in everything that Abrams does.
Well, I mean, if you made a Star Wars movie, you better damn well cast me as like the fat pilot who dies.
I know, crap. Well, Dave, I got your role in Star Wars.
Woo!
You're going to die.
I don't care. I don't care.
I hate to be in Star Wars. Christopher Titchnell says, Jason, where are you working now, and do you like it there? I am working for Springfield Clinic here in Springfield, Illinois. It's basically a...
It's a medical mafia organization.
It's not a medical mafia organization.
They control all the doctors.
No.
Yes.
A good portion of them.
Most of them.
Springfield Clinic is basically it's a ambulatory service environment, which basically means you are like if you have surgery for eyes or a knee scope or something, you basically come there, you're in and out. It has a bunch of several different sites throughout Springfield and throughout most of Central Illinois.
Well, I don't need surgery. I just need to see my doctor, get my pill, and I got to go to one of their cursed buildings.
Yeah, well. I like it. It's probably the best job I've ever had, honestly.
You do seem legitimately happy there.
Yes. I'm a much happier person. So it's a fun place. Josh Flood says, I know you both collected some of the Kenner Ghostbusters figures. The line does catch some flack due to the reuse of the original four base bodies. I, however, love many of the variations of the team that we've received. What were some of the standout figures of the Ghostbusters from that line for you, and what were the standout ghosts from that line?
I am not really... I mean, I have some, but I'm not really that... Standout ghost is the toilet that turns into a monster.
Yeah. Definitely. I like Gross Out Granny, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Granny Gross or something like that.
Like her jaw drops.
Yeah, she's fun. The mailman's fun. He cracks me up. Because I've got all the human ghosts.
Yeah.
And all of them are great. Like Touchdown Terror is awesome.
You even have his pickaxe.
Well, that's the... I don't know what that one's name is, but... Yeah, that's like the construction worker.
Hard...
Touchdown Terror is the football player.
Yeah.
And you bend him over and his butt
opens up. I know who he is.
Big old maw.
I know.
Ghostbuster-wise, though, I'd have to say I have a soft spot in my heart for the scare action stuff, the first ones they released.
Yeah.
Like where you press Winston's arm and his head spun around and...
Yeah.
I had all of those but Egon when I was a kid, and I just have a soft spot in my heart for that wave of figures. Like I had Egon and I had Winston and Peter from the original line that they released from the first wave.
See, I was going to say if I were really to get serious about it at all and they weren't as expensive as they are, I would just want that first wave. The show accurate ones.
Yes.
Would be the ones that I would prefer.
But yeah, I love the scare action feature ones. Those are great. The later ones, they kept redoing the same features, and then they did the ones with the little vehicles that were backpacks, and those were kind of neat. The Scream Heroes were kind of goofy, where you twisted the bodies around, and you plugged the ghost to them, and the ghost had like a little, almost like the same kind of speaker you'd find on like a pole toy or something like a...
Okay.
So you'd plug the ghost into them, and it would make their body spin, and that would cause the ghost to scream.
Weird.
Yeah, so... I'd have to say that those... Two of my favorites. I love the human ghosts from that line, and I love the scare features, the fright features ones. Those were fun. It was a fun line. Kenner banked money on that for a couple.
Yeah, longer than I thought they would. Yeah. It was just that one came out way late in the game for me.
Yeah.
So
because that would have been 86.
Really?
Yeah. It would have been 85, 86.
It would have been late for me to get into a new toy line. Yeah. I was still getting Joes and picking up a random Transformer. But yeah, I wasn't ready to get into a new toy line.
No.
So.
My God, I was so excited about new toy lines back then. I was like, oh, good.
Well, you're 7 years younger than I was.
Well, it's true. This is very true. Eh. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's why we get along so well.
Kind of.
Yeah. Unless you buy Waterworld figures out from under me, you son of a...
Didn't buy that from under you. You
could. Mother.
If you had pooped faster, you would have gone.
I can only poop at one speed, and that's the speed that the stuff comes out of my colon.
I was surprised it took you so long. I'm like, he's going to get to Dan before I... Because it took me a long time to get over to Dan, so I don't know what you were doing.
I had to go, and then I ran into Skinny and talked to Skinny for a while.
Well, there you go. You got your, you made a choice. You got Dick Tracy cars instead of Waterworld.
That's true.
And you've made...
Had I bought the Waterworld figure, I wouldn't have been able to afford the Dick Tracy cars.
So. There is that.
Yeah.
Well, probably not.
Yeah, so...
I don't think... Well, and I've noticed this pathetic attempt to try to get me jealous about the cars ever since.
Well, I just was like, duh, now that you've seen them, don't you kind of want them? And you're like, oh, yes. I'm kinda like, yes, yes. It's very nice.
I do like the gangster car. I think it's cool.
It's a pretty sweet little...
It's very cool. I like... I legitimately like cars from, like, the 30s and 40s. Yes. I think they have a cool look to them.
And those are great. I mean, they've got action features to them, but it's only when you roll them.
Yeah.
So that the
well, they're unobtrusive and they don't interfere with you being able to play with them.
No.
Which is what I want from an action feature.
No, they're very pretty nice. Yes, yes.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yes, pretty nice. Well, there you go, guys. That's gonna wrap up our show. But before we go, next week we're gonna have special guests on the show.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna have some members of Boss Fight Studios. On the show with us next week, which should be a lot of fun.
Should be cool.
So it'll be a lot of fun. So make sure we're going to put a questions thread for the boss fighters to leave their questions for the gang to see what they answer. But of course we'll have our regular show before we talk to the boss fighters before we talk to Boss Fight Studio next week. So
wait, I'm confused.
Regular
show.
Well, we're going to do the interview segment.
We're going to do a segment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But they will be on the show.
That's the thing we're doing now.
Yeah, well, it's just easier that way, honestly. Fair enough. Most people really don't want to sit, especially when they've got other stuff to do, to sit and...
Okay, well, maybe we could just dedicate the whole show to them, but they're not big enough.
But Boss Fight Studios will be on with us next week right here on David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Make sure you tune in then. Check us out on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/toyworldorder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. Check out all we have there to offer. We just launched last week our movie review show.
Reviews have been surprisingly positive.
Our visual podcast, basically, is what it boils down to.
That was how it was sold. That's how I pitched it. Yep,
so, and also, you can listen to it on the Toy World Order feed, because it is also a podcast you can just download, too.
But don't do that. Watch the YouTube one, because we get like a penny of revenue from that.
You should watch the video one. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty kooky for what we do. So it's right up... right up our alley anyway, so make sure you check that out. Check us out on toyworldorder.com, and of course, like I said, find us on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Just hit subscribe, and you'll get the feed for all the episodes. But if you want to hear past episodes, you got to go to toyworldorder.com and check us out, because every episode we've ever done is hosted on toyworldorder.com. So make sure you check that out. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.